listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a moral, but you can't bring the truth to me. Fuck you and all your expectations. I don't even want your congratulations. I recognize your false confidence and calculated promises all in your conversation. I hate people that feel entitled. Look at me crazy cause I ain't invite you. Oh, you important, you the moral to the story. You endorse a motherfucker, I don't even like you. Corrupt a man's heart with a gift. That's how you find out who you dealing with. A small percentage who I'm building with. I want the credit if I'm losing on women on my mama. That's the realest shit. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and shout out to Iman's husband who probably skipped that part to get to this part. So,
I'm glad you joined us, baby.
I'm gonna start adding extra verses just to fuck y'all up. Then what y'all gonna do? Let's talk about love.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, it's a Sunday. We're ready to do some podcasting.
Yes, we are. Tonight, Fear the Walking Dead. So for those of you that's been excited, you're gonna get your late night rendezvous love of that.
Into the Badlands is back tonight.
Into the Badlands gonna be motherfucking lit.
And for you pretentious snobs out there, Westworld's back. So you guys will have your thing. I watch it too. I just binge it. So we got, it's gonna be a busy media day, you know. Speaking of busy media days, I was busy yesterday. We did our feedback show, and then me and Bossy did a This Too Much on Atlanta, which is out in the regular feed and the premium feed. I just realized I don't think I put it in the premium feed. Did I do that?
I
will write down to check that out afterwards.
Write a little note to be sure.
Your boy stay busy, people, is what I'm trying to say. Let me make a little note to myself. Check.
Oh, somebody said you did.
Oh, I did. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Oh, man. I lose my head if it wasn't attached to me. Mm-mm-mm. Anyway, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme.
Before
I even get into this, Karen, go ahead and drop that, what you was gonna say.
Oh yeah, and before you move on, I was on a podcast too.
Karen was a guest on a podcast. Oh, you want me to say ADD Space?
Yes.
With Aaron, Rand Freeman, and Bacon.
It's fun. It's up now.
Yeah, I was listening to it this morning. It was very good.
We had a ball.
They talked about gaming, polyamory, in gaming, mobile gaming, Nintendo, yes, everything.
And some games. Everybody can get some.
So it was a pretty cool episode, and she had a great time. So
yeah, I know Aaron probably shook his head a lot like, y'all do.
Yeah, I think he was just sitting back in the cut letting y'all do y'all thing, and y'all was killing it. Like, no need to mess up the flow, you know. But it was a great episode, and I think you guys should listen to it. I think people listen to Karen on the Nerd Off sometimes, mm-hmm. but that's behind our paywall, so some of you guys don't get to hear her nerd out with us, and this is a good chance to hear her, get her nerd on when it comes to hardcore gaming.
Yeah, I might not can put a computer together, and I might not know what a goddamn cookie is, but I can play some games.
Mm-hmm. This podcast is sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. We have a couple audio play albums out. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Apple Music, Amazon Music, or whatnot. You just put in The Best of Rod and Karen or Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. It's by Shadow Dog Productions. We'll come up. Some of our favorite friends are on there. Nick Jew's on there. Christopher and Sandy Checks. We got some audio plays with him. Like,
yes, we do.
I don't think his are out yet, though.
No, his isn't. But
we have some audio plays with a lot of your faves in there. So yeah, make sure you guys check it out. Like I said, it helps us out when you guys do that. The more traffic they get, the better we look, and vice versa. All right, let's get into some podcasting. I don't even really know what to talk about.
It don't matter. It was Beychella part two, and
we didn't see Beychella part two,
but it was streaming. Pink.
It was what?
She wore her pink.
Oh, I didn't get to see any of it. It wasn't streaming. They knew what they was doing. They got us with the first one, And then it was like, you niggers had to be here for the second one. You better pay these $500 tickets like these good white people did.
The first hit was free.
Yeah, she snuck us in. She snuck us some fries in the bag on the first. She gave us the hookup with an extra cheeseburger in the bag on the first one. But the second one, they was like, no niggers allowed. Y'all here showing out, talking about ain't that a bitch. I'll tell you what's the big news if you guys are on Black Twitter. And I am on Black Twitter. I'm a member. I'm not ashamed of it. Universal FanCon got postponed a week out from the date that some people have been, I think, holding tickets for like 2 years at this point.
Yes. They had a Kickstarter.
That was major news. Major news. So Universal FanCon, from all appearances, was sort of a Black Girl Nerds thing. On the outside looking in, mad people was getting, you know, invited, having panels, a lot of people coming together, supposed to be in like Baltimore. I think they had the Baltimore Convention Center at one point. That's what they said they were gonna do it. They had a Kickstarter a few years ago, 2 years ago, where they wanted to raise like $25,000, and they raised like some crazy, like $56,000 or some shit, in like 30 days. Everyone was promoting it, like Ava DuVernay's promoting it, and just mad people was like really rooting for this con. There was people that were like, it was also because it was Universal FanCon, it was really supposed to cater to like the more marginalized voices. So people that are dealing with disabilities, people that are marginalized as far as their race, gender, things of this nature, this is gonna be the con for them, because so many people spend the times at the other cons feeling like the outside looking in, feeling like there's no place for them, like they're dealing with discrimination in these white spaces. And so here comes a con that, you know, on the outside looking in, promised to kind of cater towards other people, run by, you know, Black people, in a lot of spaces, not, or non-white men, basically.
Right.
And, you know, for all intents and purposes, even up until the middle of last week, like, I'm talking Wednesday and Thursday, people were promoting it and come on out, get your tickets, see you there. And the shit all hit the fan
out the blue too.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I follow a lot of people. I'm a member of Black Twitter too. I got my card, so I follow a lot of Black people that were actually pushing it and promoting it. So I knew it was kind of coming. I was like, oh, it's coming up soon, because my thing is, I wish nobody no harm, and I hope for the best for anything that everybody does. I root for everybody, literally.
Yeah, I think what happened was it started by people saying on Twitter, like, hey, because Black Girl Nerds, Jamie Broadnax, who she's been on the show before, she, like, that's the face of it, at least through my understanding. I've never seen anyone else really be the face of it. Maybe a couple other people. There are 52 people on the board of, like, directors, presidents, blah, all, you know, all those titles and shit if you go to their website. But she's kind of the person, you know. So I saw people adding her, being like, hey, I got an email from the hotel saying my reservation was canceled. And that was obviously a bad look, because I'm getting an email from them before I'm hearing anything about this event not happening
from you.
So that was, you know, and it's Twitter, so it's spreading, people retweeting, people, you know, to the pressure's building, and people like taking screenshots. This is an email I got from my hotel. What the fuck? Like, I got my plane tickets, it's a week out. You can't get plane fare back with most airlines. I think maybe Southwest will let you transfer over your stuff, but most people are like, that's non-refundable or whatever at this point. So it was kind of like radio silence on Twitter. And then eventually some statements started coming out, and everybody got an email that was a backer on Kickstarter. But the email went out CC instead of BCC, so people were like, now you got motherfuckers that know my email address, it's so unprofessional. And the email was basically on some like, well, yeah, it's been postponed, but we'll have more information coming soon, but you know, like, it's not officially canceled, but yeah, it's not, you know, we're not gonna be able to do anything. We'll let you guys know with the FAQs on our site and what the details will be. Okay, so people still are like, well, where am I gonna get my money back? What the fuck, you know, why did this happen? And at the beginning, at least, for the most part, people were really extending the benefit of the doubt. Like, I know some catastrophic could have happened. It right. could have, you know.
Anything unexpected.
You know, maybe the venue kicked you out because you black or something. You know, it's like mm-hmm. a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, it's always an X factor when people run shit. It's really easy for people to complain about shit people doing when you ain't never ran nothing like this. Or you don't know the ins and outs of it. It's really easy to criticize what other people are doing.
Well, also in a vacuum of information, people will make up the story that best suits them, you know. And normally it's worse than whatever the truth is. But it doesn't matter. If you're not giving out information, people will be like, oh, well, then this must have happened, right?
Correct.
So, you know, you have the rumblings of that. But mostly, you know, just the fact you postponed something a week out and you weren't ahead of it and telling people, hey, we're postponing it, they finding out through the hotel, which means sounds like you were not gonna tell anybody, you know, unless, you know, but the hotel made you have to tell people, right? So then, you know, people start resigning. People are on Twitter like, I don't have nothing to do with this, even though I was one of these people in the, you know, involved in the planning or whatever, or they had me on their staff or their team, and but it ain't got nothing to do with me. This is, you know, but that never looks good, because it's kind of like people hopping off the ship right as this shit's about to sink. And so finally they get a statement that came out on, say, like Friday night, Thursday night, something like that, and the statement was real bad. Like, it was like, I know they had FAQs and stuff, but it was like a lot of like, hey man, we out of luck too. Some of us have bought our plane tickets and we not gonna get our money back either, and you know, the tickets did say non-refundable, so you're not getting your money back for those. And sorry about the travel and stuff. We'll do our best to accommodate it. And the next event, your ticket will still be valid for that. You know, and it's like, y'all never had a first event. How you gonna do a next event? It didn't explain, like, what happened to the money. It didn't explain who was in charge of anything, who was in charge of money or anything. So, like, that was the first statement. People didn't like it. And then what was wild is people were taking screenshots. The document was being changed in real time. So, like, it would be one reason, and then you take a picture a couple hours later, and the reason didn't change once people start asking questions about certain things. So then Jamie put out a statement that was like, essentially, I don't know what the fuck happened. My name was on this, but I wasn't in charge of anything. I didn't know anything about any money. I'm basically not responsible for this. Now I was just a member of this like group of people and shit. Now you gotta keep in mind, on her Twitter, it was co-founder of Universal FanCon. You know, on the website, there were people that were listed, and up until like that day or whatever, all of a sudden now, you know, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with this, you know. And everyone saying, I didn't have anything to do with the money. I don't know what happened to the money. I didn't know. I've just found out. And she had put something like, they dropped a bombshell on her on the 3rd of the month that she, you know, that they weren't going to have enough tickets and fans and stuff to make the shit pop off, and especially in light of, you know, what they wanted the event to be. Problem with that is it was the 20th or whatever when people found out. Yeah. So you had 17 days to tell people, and maybe that 17 days would have made a difference in people preparing, you know, right, or canceling or whatever,
right, or either raising the funds to help you meet whatever goal you were trying to meet.
Yeah, the other thing is at this point people are so upset, they feel misled, they definitely feel like there's a lot of excuses, no accountability, no transparency coming out. So people were like, it really didn't matter what you say at this point, I'm still gonna be pissed at you. Right. But it's doubly worse when I feel like you lying still, or I feel like you know you're not acknowledging where you fucked up. So the other part of it was, people question that, you knew on the third, why didn't you tell us? She changed it to 48 hours instead. Like, oh, I only knew 48 hours ago. So then people were like, well, if which one is it true? Like, you didn't know till 48 hours ago, or you didn't know till you knew 3 weeks ago? Because it makes a difference. And why are you changing this on the fly? Like, it's kind of like a masterclass in how not to handle shit.
That's one thing that the past year or 2 years has taught me, how not to do shit, how not to run functions, you know, what not to do. And it's one of those things where people need to pay attention hosting shit. You go, oh, okay, that's what that you, this is the thing you don't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it like that scene in New Jack City.
You're the one who's guilty. Lawmakers, the politicians, the Colombian drug lords, all you who lobby against making drugs legal, just like you did with alcohol during the prohibition, you're the one who's guilty. I mean, come on, let's kick the ballistics here. Ain't no Uzis made in Harlem. I mean, not one of us in here owns a poppy field. This thing is bigger than Nino Brown. This is big business. This is the American way.
I'm sure that...
So it basically was... it was basically like
Hawking.
Right, it ain't like it's not me, like you need to find the real people that's in charge. There was also a thread I saw where someone that was affiliated with this con listed in like as like a higher up in it was also affiliated with a couple cons in the past that got canceled like a week out. One of them was like this Asian thing where they were sending like people were coming from Tokyo to America and they were gonna perform here. It got canceled. The talent didn't show up. People didn't get paid. Okay. And then the other one was some other type of nerd con. Same thing. It was supposed to be like the first, con of its kind, blah, blah, blah. Same thing. A week out, it got canceled. So that was messed up, you know. The other thing is, when you start getting a week out from places, that's normally when they want like the rest of their deposit money.
Right.
Hotels want their fees.
Right. So some people are like, I got to come to Baltimore regardless because I've taken the time off and I can't get my money back.
Well, not just that. I'm saying the other way around. The con is paying, like, part of their packages was we're going to pay for people hotels. We're going to pay for people's flights. We're going to pay for people's, all the stuff they promised to pay for. And I think they felt pressure to do those things because, the unspoken part of this shit that I think nobody's talked about that I've seen on social media, but you know, that whole like blurred community takes a lot of, they are very critical of a lot of other shit. You know, like this wasn't right for this con, this thing wasn't right for that thing, this, if you know, everybody's doing everything wrong and fucked up except us, right? And so once you say nobody can do anything right, you essentially get people that start looking at you like, well, why don't you put on the event that is so perfect and great that you claim would be the best event ever, and everyone would walk home feeling great about themselves and nobody would feel discriminated against or left out or whatever. And you know, on the one hand, because that fan base has had to fight so hard to be included into the space of nerddom,
right,
there's like a constant, you know, rally cry, and they're able to fight. We talked about this with the Firestarter thing where I was like, you know, I've seen them do the other way where someone took an idea from them and then they like railed on them and said, look what you did to this black woman, blah, blah, blah. And then when it was Firestarter, now, I mean, I'm not saying Firestarter definitely was, I mean, they Firestarters. They definitely were inflammatory with some of the way they talked about it, but they weren't wrong.
Come on, they weren't wrong.
You know, that was their language. That was a thing they came up with. They, if they wanted to not be, used everywhere, all we can do is respect it. You know, like I'm not gonna sit up there and tell them, nah, fuck you, it's everybody's, you don't get to decide. No, it's your thing. You know, I felt sorry for the role I played in. I definitely apologized to them. It was like, let me know what I gotta do to make it right, because I'm not just gonna do big bank take little bank or fuck y'all because it's me on this time. Like, nah, it's
about doing right by people,
right? You know, and I, you know, and so, but I remember how they went in on them, you know, and people were like, you know, people that had nothing to do with it was going at them, calling them all kinds of shit, and it was like, okay, maybe because, you know, I try to be understanding, like, maybe because these people have been kind of triggered by the ostracization from these nerd spaces. They're always fighting, and this look like another fight, so they're fighting you even though y'all at this point are like, we're kind of over it, we got our point out, leave us alone.
And that was the end of it, right?
You know, but still, you know, like, they, because they're constantly fighting and kind of like, well, yeah, they're gonna fight you too, right? So I try to be understanding of that, because I don't think it's, you know, I don't think most people set out intend to be like a evil or wrong or bad or whatever. Oh, no. People just kind of stumble into that shit sometimes. So, but in this case, you got to remember, you got a fan base of people that you've taken money from that are expecting something in return. And it looks like you weren't even going to inform them they weren't getting what they paid for.
Right. And
they weren't getting anything at all.
Right. And the thing is, the hotel is a fucking business, and businesses do what businesses do when they alerted about shit.
Right.
They got alerted, so they was like, let's go into business mode.
Right. So, what I'm trying to say is, of course there's a huge backlash on Twitter, because these are the huge backlashers of Twitter in a lot of places. Like, in a lot of places, these are the people that start the hashtags, these are the people that call people to task, these are the people that every show they is getting shit on somehow, every show ain't doing it right, every con isn't doing it right. You know, when BGN wasn't invited to Comic-Con, even though they didn't apply in the process that you were supposed to apply to, people had their back, they started a hashtag and they got invited. You know, it did, like, sometimes it's not about right makes wrong, it's might makes right. And Jamie got to that Black Girl Nerds brand before anybody else, you know. So that, you know, possession is not intense of the law. So when people think of Black Girl Nerds, they think of Jamie. When they think of Universal Fan Con, they think of Black Girl Nerds, which means they think of Jamie. So whenever something positive happens for Black Girl Nerddom, you know, it, they reach out to her. When they do interviews, a lot of times people reach out to her. You know, when so they need a guest on a TV show, they'll reach out to her, because this brand is such a big brand. You know, there's hundreds of thousands followers on social media, and you know, Ava DuVernay is there, and you're getting invited to screenings and things. Like, this is a lot of access that you're getting. And the thing with the internet is appearances are so much a part of everything for people. So you want to look big, and you do look big when you're taking a picture with Ava DuVernay. I mean, shit, it's, you know, it's like, how many people got to do that that night, you know? When it's you're on Melissa Harris Perry, they're like, hey, they didn't say just all the Black girls that are nerds are here. No, one person is here representing them all. And there's obviously animosity that comes with it. It's not all good, right? Like, while you're shining, there's always a person that thinks you shouldn't be the one. There's always a person that doesn't like you. There's people that, you know, they had a bad interaction with you, and they've been fucking talking shit about you for years and years and years. But for the most part, people will ignore those kind of folks, because most of those kind of people complain about everything
and no everybody.
Offense.
Right.
Yeah, no offense, because I saw people saying, like, I didn't fuck with her back in blankety blank, and I'm like, yeah, you don't really fuck with anybody. Like, you're not the person I go to,
right?
But this time, with all this money on the line, all these people that were out, I mean, people made materials to sell, like merchandise. Our girl Eljoy Williams is going down there for her civics podcast, Sunday Civics, to engage people civically, register people to vote. She made all kinds of stuff. She's out a couple $1,000s just like that.
Artists that had prepared stuff specially for this, they're out.
Yep.
You know, you had a lot of people to put up a huge amount of money. You know, you had people mortgaging their homes.
Right. And I mean, somebody gave like $5,000. There was a backer for this like special VIP experience. Never gonna get your money back. Ticket unrefundable, non-refundable. And so the, you know, like I said, the thing was like, there were people saying like, well, it's non-refundable. So now you know y'all ain't getting y'all money back, which, to be honest, people just don't want to hear. I don't know if there's gonna be a Twitter or something, a lawsuit about that or something. I know people started like, it's funny, man, because in the light of this not happening, the resiliency of that community and the fact that there is a community was so beautiful, because people are still going to put on a con, and they like have a pop-up con that's going to happen that Saturday. People are promoting the artists, they're promoting the cosplayers,
right,
the vendors.
All, right, and was saying go buy their stuff,
right?
So for a lot of people, they through social media, they were introduced to some of these people that they otherwise wouldn't have been introduced to, that would have only been at the con.
Yeah, so there's gonna be other cons and stuff. Oh, there'll be a con in the area for people to go to, you know. But the fallout and the lack of honesty in the fallout, because I can't think of another way to put it. I don't want to assume the worst of somebody, mm-hmm. but like literally we did watch your story change 2-3 times every time you put out another press release, you know. So like,
and things happen, so people mm-hmm. aren't that crazy, mm-hmm. you know. They like, just let me know, just let us know,
right? What I would say though, and you know, and who knows, because people are saying like maybe she put up her house to keep it, whatever. But what I would say is, it seems like on the outside looking in, if you're in charge of this at all, if your name's on the front of it, then you probably should be at least in tune to what the financials are. Now, I'm not saying that makes, you know, shit happens.
Yes, it does.
You know, like anything can happen, especially with money. But if you're not in tune to the financials, then don't put your face on the front of it. Because if it don't go right, that's you. You know, and then she, to then say, like, I'm not a founder of this, I'm just a member, and I, you know, when this pops off, I'm definitely going to want all the credit, but I'm not going to want any of the blame. You know, kind of, you know, not really cool, you know, to then say, well, I had nothing to do with it. People not going to buy it at this point. The switch from I knew this 2 weeks ago to I just found out today, like y'all, that's also not going to fly with people. You know, like they see you change your story. You know, some people went radio silent on Twitter and stuff, which I mean, honestly, your tweets ain't gonna solve it anyway, so I actually understand that. But then they come back and be like, you know, I'm kind of the real victim and of this, and you're like, you shouldn't have done that, you should have just left that alone. But here's what I would say though, because I think in the blame game and the pettiness and the anger, like a lot of shit is getting lost, because there are also people that really have grudges with her that have had them for years, and correct. this is the chance to finally be heard, like mm-hmm. you know. And there's people that have like that never are in mess, that are like, listen, this is foul, this is kind of par for the course, blah blah blah. Like our girl Joy, who was on the show last year, who used to work for Black Girl Nerds, and she stopped in like, I want to say March. Mm-hmm. She was being like, yeah, like this is kind of what Jamie does and stuff. And I ain't never seen Joy involved in no shit
ever. So T-minus, her business, it just travels the globe,
right? So I'm inclined to believe Joy, you know. And it didn't even seem like what she was doing was on some petty like mm-mm. I'm about to roast this motherfucker, like it right. wasn't even, it was just kind of like
it was coming from the heart, it was sincere,
right? And there were people that still work there that they may fear retribution, loss of contacts. Not to mention, I mean, this could be the dissolution of that brand at some point, because if Black Girl Nerds is synonymous with Universal FanCon, and Universal FanCon could become synonymous with a failure, people may not want to put that on their resume. People may always be answering questions about, like, well, what exactly did you have to do with it? You know, I mean, we might want you to write for Slate, but can you explain what happened and what your role was? You know, a lot of good work might get, you know, kind of taken down a peg because of this, you know. And then anytime you're the arbiter of blackness for any space, you put yourself up to be crucified. I don't like, you know, it's just what happens.
and no one black person I think is even close to able to represent us all. It's just impossible. Right. But whatever choices you make, whatever type of black person you are, you're gonna get called to the carpet for that shit. So if you call yourself Black Girl Nerds and you have an article that people disagree with, people go, who the fuck are you? See, this is what's wrong with this type of black person, and this is why I don't fuck with y'all, because you said blank, you know. And by the way, if you would have taken the opposite approach and put the opposite article out, there would be a contingent of black people that would be like, yo, fuck you, that's not no type of black shit I deal with. This is why you shouldn't be the arbiter of this thing, you know. So even by accepting that mantle, you kind of put yourself in a place where you're like, you know, it's a precarious situation from jump. Then, you know, the access, you know, you're gonna deal with jealousy, pocket watching, you know, of people, you know, sitting around meat peeping like, why you get to be at the red carpet? You got that shit, you know. So you already have all this shit you're dealing with. I really do wonder, and this is not an excuse, but I really do just wonder if this is what happened. If she was just faking it till she made it, the way that many people in these independent media spaces have to do to survive.
Correct.
And basically took it too far. Like, got in over your head and you didn't want to admit this shit is not working out how I thought. It's harder than I thought. The money isn't there. The support isn't there that I thought we were going to have. I don't know what to do right now. And that transparency and honesty may have saved you. And I'm not saying like on the third, if that's when you knew, you know, cause if that's the story, that's the story. But that's very difficult for me to believe that y'all didn't know from jump. Like, we were going to have to sell some more tickets. We were going to need a budget where we were bringing in more money constantly all the time, and it wasn't happening. And we knew at some point we were going to have to start changing our plans because things were starting to look kind of shady. Anyway, let's say you didn't know and you really found out on the third, right? Not, like I said, let's say that happened. Even as far away as the third, if you would come out and been like, hey, guys, I need y'all help. I'm not going to make this budget, and we might not get the con that we thought we were going to get.
Right. And
we don't have the money we thought we had. This is what happened to the money. And so many people pay. And look, we got hundreds of thousands of followers. You got celebrities, companies that want to be affiliated with Black Girl Nerds. You got that want to be affiliated with Universal FanCon and want to be affiliated with Black Twitter and stuff. And if you can say, look, guys, we need a new Kickstarter, a new GoFundMe, a new something. We need to raise this money for this thing to happen. And, you know, Ava DuVernay, can you signal boost this? Like, all these people that have ever, like, fucked with them, you know, can y'all help?
Right, because we don't want you to fail.
Right. And also, you know who else don't want you to fail? All the people that are upset now that y'all didn't have y'all's event. All of them would have rather been in Baltimore having fun at this con. And if you would have even had to go back to them and been like, guys, we completely miscalculated. It's going to take an extra $20 a person to really make this happen. Even those people would be like, well, I'd rather give you $20 more now than be ass out of the $2,000 I'm spending to come there this weekend. You know, it was just so many people that I don't know. And like, I have definitely have empathy overload with some shit. And it's probably easier for people that can cut everybody like real, like cut and dry, just be like, fuck this person, they're trash, I'm done with them, no check, you know. But to me, I'm like, I can understand being out on a limb, doing something that you're uncomfortable doing because you've never done it before.
Correct.
Which every day with these small businesses, every day in these industries, these independent media spaces, we're always doing some shit that we're uncomfortable doing. We're always doing some shit no one's done before. We're always doing some shit that we've never done before.
Right.
And it's scary. It's scary as fuck.
Very.
You know, people ask us questions, when you gonna do this? And I'm like, I don't know how to do that, my nigga.
Right.
I either need the money to find an expert that knows what they're doing, or I need the time to learn how to do this thing that you want me to do. But the truth of the matter is, I know what I'm doing over here, which is why I stick to what I'm doing. And when I reach out into other things, I want to do it with a sureness. I want to do it with a backing. I want to do it with a bit of a net, a safety net underneath me, so that if I fall, I don't fall too hard. And what really the real pressure of it is, we try so hard to live up to what other people view us as. You know, it was like I had to, as much as I had to embrace last year was about me pushing out to be like, I'm gonna do some things I've never done before that I've never felt comfortable doing. I'm gonna fucking do these things. I'm gonna meet these people, take these selfies, I'm gonna be at these shows, I'm gonna do this con, we're gonna do this shit. And that was a beautiful feeling, that growth. But this year I've been learning a lot more that there's consequences to that. People come into your life that they don't actually mean the best for you. They want shit from you. They give you shit to get shit, you know. They judge you from outside. They think of you as like, you know, a product, things of this nature, you know, that like they're rooting for you, but they don't know you. They're rooting for you in a weird way. And so that's another lesson I have to take in, you know, not gonna let it defeat me, not gonna let it rob me of my human connection to other people, but I do need to be wary of it. You never know who the fuck is trying to get in your circle, right?
Correct.
So I can understand the pressure of finding out this might not happen. I don't want to let everyone down. Maybe I can find a way to fix it myself. You know, maybe I am going to mortgage my own house. Maybe I am going to, you know, try to sell more products or whatever, you know, the thing is. Maybe I'll just keep tweeting out trying to promote it. I don't know. I have to find a new avenue of revenue to make this thing work. But yeah, you like, but sometimes the only thing you can do is lean back on your audience and trust them. You know, you're spending this money, you're invested. It's not that you don't want it to happen, you know, like it's not like you're sitting around. Put it this way, I highly doubt that Jamie and some of the people affiliated were sitting around like Tyrone at Howard with allegedly. I highly doubt that that's what was happening.
I doubt it was either,
you know, but I bet you, you know, they start looking at the reality of these prices and these deposits, because, and these fees.
It's a lot of costs that is associated with shit, a lot of hidden fees too. Mm-hmm. That's associated with shit. You pay a deposit here, 3 months later or right before the event you pay another deposit, come right to find out it's an extra $50 for this. Oh, you want an extra this and you want an extra that. Oh, now you got to have insurance. Hold up, right, wait a minute, now you got to have special security. Hold on, wait a minute, now you need to pay somebody with saying licensing, right? You know, before you know it, it end up being
you had a permit to play this music in this venue,
right?
Are you going to sign it, you know? And okay,
and these are extra occurring costs that you might not have even considered from the beginning. So I know that sometimes, put like this, I understand that sometimes everybody, when you're trying to save money, you do things, you try to do things yourself. I completely understand that. I'm just talking from a small scale, but sometimes you need to pay the professionals who are professional at this. They actually know what questions to ask. They've been through this. They can kind of help guide you. And even with them, you still might have unexpected things that happen.
Here's the thing I would throw out, though. That fan base spends a lot of time talking about other people's shit not being good enough. So the pressure that puts on you as a person who holds an event for those folks is that your shit has to be perfect, because they are going to go in on you if it's not. And I've always felt, we've talked about in the Nerd Off, the blurred space, you know, which, you know, I don't call myself one, but I don't have a problem with people that call themselves right. That's fine, whatever. But the blurred space is so fucking negative. I've been in nerd little blurred groups people added me to and shit, and I get out every time. Don't put me in those fucking groups,
right? And to me on the outside looking in, a lot of them are very, very, very mean spirited, like just mean spirited and a lot of negativity. And I can pick up on that. I'm here for fun. I came to have a good time. I came here to enjoy. That's why sometimes I can't vibe with a lot of them, because I didn't come here to shit on everything that I see. I didn't come here to say how everything ain't trash and how I could do it better and I could write it better and things like that. I kind of enjoy what I enjoy, but at the same time, their anger is valid in some spaces, and that's how you get diversity and all this stuff. So I understand the purpose of it, but sometimes it could just be too much negativity for me personally.
All right, so what I'm trying to say is this, though. Those spaces are negative. I don't really mess with it because of that, right? I'm sure there's a lot of blurs that don't really fuck with me because I am more like, no, I like that. You know, Marvel's great. I don't like Avengers was fine. I don't really walk out of Avengers and my first thought is like, you know, the representation for this, that, and the other wasn't good enough for that. There's people whose whole industry and life is dedicated to doing that. They make money doing that, or they get a brand doing that, and that's fine. It's just, I don't want to be affiliated with that shit. It's just a never ending rabbit hole of, you know, this is fucked up, that's fucked up. So I try not to deal with it. Here's my thing, though. That also extends to these cons. So it becomes, I went to blank con and that con was fucked up and they didn't have this and they didn't have that. So then it's not just that you're going, I'm going to put on a con. You're going to put on a con that's unlike the other cons and doesn't let anyone down. The underlying part of this has never talked about, it costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It costs a lot of money. Like, it's not as simple as people make it seem. We know right from wrong. We know what morally should be done. The thing is, it's not always affordable to pay every person that's going to speak at your con. But you look on TV, on Twitter, people shit on cons where they don't pay people. We've gone to Revolt Con and Seattle Pi Con. We didn't get paid to be at either one of those, right? Our travel and our hotel was paid for in both venues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Right.
I know people who have been like, I wouldn't have gone if I didn't get no, you know, this much money for it. And you know what? I've never complained about it. I've never been on Twitter talking about how maybe so-and-so get paid and I didn't get paid. You know why? Because personally, I made a decision before I left my house. Am I willing to do this for free or not?
Right.
Am I willing to do this for air, you know, for airfare and a hotel, and or am I not? You know, PyCon, that was their first one. I go back if I come back, if they invite us back, I go back.
Me too.
Never been to Seattle before. I go back. Had a great time. You know, tired and all that shit, but had a great time. It was fun. We got to be at the first one. Next year they might pick somebody else. Totally fine with that too. Right. No hard feelings.
Mm-mm.
You know, I saw people that, you know, they left from the con and they said, well, this was kind of different. I didn't like this thing about it. And I said, you know what? Totally fine. You know, if you didn't like, you know, something about it, send them that feedback. I hope they listen to you. I hope they change it.
Right.
I personally had a great time, but I also walk into the door, you know, I'm expecting us to walk there and then to be like, we don't have you on the list. So, you know, I have very low expectations, right. But, you know, I had a great time is what I'm trying to say. And I made that decision and was fine with that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't shit on them for that. If I found out everybody got paid but us, I still would be like, nigga, I had a great time. I don't give a fuck about they money. I don't
Come
care.
On.
One of the things that allows us to do what we do is cause I don't care about other people's shit. You know, I don't care what, I don't look at the podcast list and go, we didn't make this list, fuck everybody ahead of us, well, what's so good about them? I don't think that. I think, holy shit, that's so good for those people, they made that list.
I always am happy about those lists.
I'm a fan of some of these people.
Me
that's
too.
So dope.
I found some new podcasts, that's wonderful.
When some black people get some shit that I don't even fuck with their type of blackness, like, totally not for me, I still be happy because some black people got some shit. Good for them.
Come on.
Secure your bag. You know, as long as you ain't fucking with me, what do I care?
I don't.
I literally expunged that shit from my life. I don't think like that. You know what I mean? Like, every day I try to push it further. I try to come up with something else to be like, this is why you gotta stay unbothered. You know, because what I think ultimately led to this is pocket watching these other cons.
Correct.
Cause you're putting on a first con, your first con probably gotta be small. Probably gotta be in a small space.
Mm-hmm.
Probably gotta be in maybe a small city. Maybe, not as many attendees. Maybe not as many days. Maybe you can only do one day the first day. Maybe, you know, you can only plan on 200 or 300 people coming and you have to figure a budget out for 200 to 300 people to rent out, you know, a small place. Like, And obviously it's all hindsight, but I would have known this going up front for the most part, only because I do dream small, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thing. I'm very much like, let's do the thing we know we can do. And if that works, let's do the thing that we think we can do.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I'm the opposite. So you have to have somebody that kind of can balance that out. And it's okay to dream big and want big things.
Right.
But the thing is, sometimes it might take 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tries or years of consistently doing something before you can get to that point.
Well, I'm looking in the chat, like Minerva said, like, when you got a small indie con, you might not be able to pay people just because you ain't got the budget.
Correct.
But like, you know, these bigger cons like San Diego Comic Con, she's like, they better pay. But my thing is, San Diego Comic Con got something your indie con don't got, an audience.
Right.
So there's actually people who are going to come to San Diego Comic Con and not get paid, but they got paid and getting exposed to a lot of people that never would have heard of them before. You know, like these are the trade-offs that we have to make. I think often we talk ourselves one way to the extreme and one other, like either pay me, I ain't doing shit. Fine, that's your way. But then don't be mad when you don't get the phone call. Don't be mad when you're not there. Don't be mad when you see somebody on that stage and you didn't want to do what it took to get there. That path wasn't for you. Just excise the jealousy from yourself, right? Like, excise the part of you that looks at them on stage and goes, I just want to be on stage because I don't want to walk in their shoes necessarily. Mm-mm. So
because I don't know what it took to get there,
right? So we have to, for me anyway, I had to excise that part, like, okay, that person's on that stage, that person's on that list, that person on that letter. Well, you know what, I don't want to do the black show that explains black shit to white people.
No,
I don't want to make that my podcast. Now if I did that podcast, maybe I'd be on the stage. But I'd always have to be treading lightly, worried I'm gonna piss the white person off because I didn't explain this shit the right way.
Come on.
You know? I have to be happy with myself at the end of the day. My authenticity, my honesty, and my integrity. Only fucking things I got. It's the only things I can control. Everything else is people's perception. You gotta let them deal with that shit. But, I really do wonder if the image of having it all together and chasing that and trying to look like the con that had all the other cons beat, and we're gonna put you to shame in our first con, and we're gonna pay everybody, we're gonna fly everybody out, give everybody hotel rooms, we're gonna have like the best shit for everyone, all kinds of accessibility, everything's gonna be great and perfect, and you know, the pictures and stuff, and I'm gonna be at the front of those pictures as, look who did this, you know, look who gets the credit for this. And then when the shit goes wrong, it's, I was just a member. I have nothing to do with this. I don't know what happened to the money. Nobody knows what happened to the money. It doesn't matter what happened to the money. All of a sudden, it's not good enough. You know? So I honestly do wonder if that was the pressure, man. Like, and that sucks, you know? Cause, one of my big fears and one of the things that, you know, one of the reasons I live the way I live is because I don't really want to live my life for the internet.
Mm-mm.
I don't really give a fuck about being all up in the pictures and the videos. It's so often I have lunch or dinner with somebody or something, like some type of thing. And I know in my mind, I'm like, what a great time. And then I leave and I go, oh shit, I was supposed to take like a selfie.
I'm the one that remembers that part.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? To tell the world, like, look at how we had, but I don't live in that world like that.
Correct.
Like, I understand there's still real life out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand that, meeting a celebrity, the last thing on my mind is, if I really look up to him, is, I gotta get this picture though. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh yeah, that is right. That's a thing I should do. I try to remember. I'm not trying to front, but I almost never do. But it's this whole thing of like, there's so much about image, and especially the pressure that must come with being the black girl nerd and the black girl nerd and the head of that and all that shit, to look like you always have it together. But I honestly do believe if they would have come out however many months that they knew that this was gonna probably be an issue, which it had to be months, it had to be, if they would have said, man, we need some help, I really feel like they would have got it. But now
I do too.
You might have burned your brand to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how you recover. How do you recover from that? You know, it's a nightmare. It's a huge fear for people that work in independent spaces, is you know, shit doesn't work out, and now motherfuckers is out here, you know, burning everything down. And clearly y'all don't have a PR person. Mm-mm. I mean, if y'all don't have money, I don't know how you afford it anyway, but y'all don't got a PR person. Y'all ain't got, y'all got stories changing. People ain't on the same page. People dropping old shit that you done said or did to them. And now everybody's all perked up listening because they ain't, you know, they ain't listened the first time.
Right. And then you have a lot of nerddom, mm-hmm. that actually a lot of white spaces started covering whenever it publicly came out. So then you have a lot of people that had no idea what the fuck this was.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I read about it. It was on IO9, the Hollywood Reporter, everywhere.
Right. So this started getting into white spaces. So then you had those people coming trying to find out what you were doing, who you were. So you're bringing more eyes
and
to the situation.
Honestly, as an independent media person that wants to do some events and shit, scares the fuck out of me, because I'm like, I hope people understand when we do our shit, we're not going to do it just trying to, like, we're not going to fake it.
Right.
Like, if we can't do it, y'all niggas will know first.
Yeah, we'd be like, it ain't happening.
If we can do it, we going to let y'all know too. You know, if when we plan shit out, it's meticulous. When we want to do stuff, we find professionals. When we, like, we're not just gonna free will it and hope it comes together. Mm-hmm. And you don't, and since you don't have to worry about me living for y'all, quote unquote, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not out here feeling like I'm representing everybody when I go somewhere. Like, it doesn't, I don't, there's no value in me looking like I have it all together all the fucking time, you know? And the water that I hold, when I hold water for people, is for they benefit, you know what I mean? Right. Like, if there's some shit that I'm like, yeah, I'm just not even gonna tell the audience about this, it ain't for me, because I'm very comfortable with the decisions I make. It's for them, where it's like, I don't need to start no shit with these people, got, you know. So it's like, as a person that tries to live my life that kind of way, you know, make my parents proud, make you proud, make our fans proud, I also am not so caught up in trying to look perfect.
I think
that's what happens when you know you have a crushing fan base. Like, you have built a juggernaut that can build an empire as quick as they can destroy one.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are unleashed on you yourself. Like, I don't know what Jamie's got to be going through right now, especially if she really was, like I said, I don't know the full story. It feels like she really had best intentions in mind when she started this thing. It got big as fuck.
Right.
There's a point where you need a team. You can't handle this. You can't be going to work at a 9-to-5 somewhere else.
Right.
This needs to be a full-time, all-hands-on-deck thing.
Right, because a lot of, like, particularly when we went to Seattle, it was literally a full-time team, a squad of people that actually ran everything. They was like the forefront, the
face of it. That was their first Seattle PodCon. Everybody that worked on it, that was not their first con.
No, it wasn't.
So, like, I was learning then. When I was watching them, I was like, oh, this is an undertaking. You got 40, 50 people working on this staff.
Right, this is all over the place.
Multiple event planners, caterers.
Come on.
People that have to clean up. People that have to do the chairs and the stands and
the mics.
The audio and the recording and the video.
And the photography.
You got all these moving parts. It's one of the reasons, like I said, I'm not trying to, anyone that had a problem with, I'm not trying to, like, really get it them, but it's one of the reasons I really just was like, I don't have a problem with anything that happened today. Cause it's fucking, this looks very difficult. I don't know how the fuck they did this. Like, I'm just walking around at all like, oh wow, it's really gonna start at the time you said it was gonna start. Okay.
Right. And it went planned, and it ended at the time they said it was gonna end. Yeah. And, you know, the people, did they, I think something happened when we got there to our rooms where we didn't have the passes. We got there and the woman was like, you ain't got your passes? We was like, no. She was like, okay. She made a phone call. I don't know what she did or who she spoke to, but when we got back to the room, them fucking passes was in that goddamn room.
They were also surprised by how nice we were, which made me think, like, how fucking entitled is everybody else? Because I think maybe it's just it's such all, plus we are from the South. So, so there's a huge part of us that I'm sure they were like, oh my God, look, you know, we're all honey baby sweetie. Thank you.
Right. I mean, literally, you know, to everybody.
Sir, ma'am, madam.
Right. To the audio technician man and everything. And the thing is, our niceness paid off, because he probably had thousands of hours of recording. He was like, I got you. Y'all right. Get y'all recording first.
He gave us all our recordings from PyCon, like, soon as I got home and emailed. It was like, yep, here's yours.
I remember y'all.
And then everybody was so like, oh, we love y'all. Oh, God, you're so good. Thank you for coming. You're so... And I'm like, we may have the smallest fan base of all these shows in here.
Come on!
Because these shows, you know, one, they kind of cater to, like, a different type... It was like a different type of... celebrities. Some of these people are comedians, writers, right. All kinds of shit. You know, they've been on TV, mm-hmm. You know, all this shit. And we were just like, I'm very happy to be here, you know.
That was us.
And being our authentic selves and, you know, spreading love and spending time with our fans. And our fans were so fucking, like, real and so dope. Like, it was honestly like talking to friends, even though we didn't know them. They kind of knew enough about us.
Right.
They were so respectful, and like seeing our fans intermingle and like be existing in these places. Mm-hmm. And it like that our fans were so dope. They made other people fans of us. It wasn't us.
Yes.
It wasn't us. It was people were like, why the fuck are all those people gathered around those black dudes? Right. You know, those black people.
Right. And I think one time we was like in the same room. We did one, and then the next event was like in that same room, and we would stand there and we would talk, and they would take pictures. And I think people interacting with us, so we would go outside and we would talk, and people would come by and we'd take pictures. And it actually just drew other people around. Other people would just stand and look and talk, and for you know it, everything we went to, they were there too, because right. They could just feel the energy. And
we probably picked up a dozen or so straggler fans that came there to be, you know, like, I just came to do cosplay and listen to, you know, my brother and me. And then by fucking Sunday, they were like, when's your live show? I'm gonna be there.
Right.
You know?
And even some of the people that were like doing like the floor as far as like keeping the time and right. You know, seeing people, they would actually hear us. Next thing you know, I actually seen some of them at the live show. I was like, wow.
So even with like NegroCon, right? Because mm-hmm. People keep comparing NegroCon to what they did. It's not really comparable, because what Universal FanCon set out to be was some huge shit from the jump.
Right.
They did a fundraiser to get the money to do it. We was coming out of pocket. Like, Chris came out of pocket for that shit. You know, when we were looking for venues and tickets and shit, I remember, you know, Chris finding the venue, and we were like, can we sell 100 tickets? How are we supposed to know?
And that's the thing.
None of us have ever sold one ticket before.
You're guessing. That's right. Why you federalize. You're guessing, and you have an estimate on what you think. Right. But you don't really know.
And the internet's not really real. Like, no offense to my internet folks, I mean, y'all fam at this point, but you can't say I have 20,000 Twitter followers so I can sell 20,000 seats to an arena. That ain't how it works.
Probably 5 to 10% at the most, and that's right. If 5 to 10%. Normally, it's probably about 2 to 3%.
Even with this Universal FanCon fallout, one of the things I'm trying not to do is be petty or... harass anybody and shit, because if we're being honest, a lot of people don't really care.
Right.
They sold 700 some tickets. That's actually astounding.
That's a lot.
If they had checked the Biffin venue, that would have been a dope ass crowd of 700 some people. You can make that work.
Make that pop.
You know, like, it could have been something great. Like, there's a tragedy to all this,
right,
in the partying of it. I'm not saying don't make your jokes. Look, I got jokes, okay? I would have fucking been on Instagram with y'all money laughing if y'all would have been I would have been like, I'm in Ibiza, can't get reception out here, I'm too busy counting y'all's money, sorry. In a fur on the beach sweating. You gotta lean into it, right?
Come on.
But I'm just saying, like, so there's a tragedy to this. There's a sadness to it. There's a loss of trust here. Maybe a loss of a brand. Definitely loss of money for many people. How many other things could they have done with that money? You know, money don't grow on trees these days. You cannot play with people money. Like, you know, I tell people this shit all the time. When they, Ryan, y'all should do this, y'all should do that. I'm like, nigga, that's more money for them, more money for us. Shit ain't funny when it come to money.
What? People will slice you up over their funds, dog. They will fuck you up.
Right.
They will literally see, every time I meet you in Temecula, honey, they will meet you about that fucking money.
Right. Be some death threats and shit over that money, you know? So, People don't pay their money and their labor. People do not fucking play around that about that shit. Mm-mm. So it's some scary shit, you know? And so, the whole, I see how you can get caught up in faking it till you make it, but it's literally like that fight or flight response. The opposite is the only move you got is to lean into the honesty and be like, guys, I don't know if this is gonna happen. And we need all your help. You know?
And I really do believe, like you said before, people would have came out of
yeah,
the
and look works. At look at NegroCon. We were looking at venues and we was like, let's just get one. It's got like 100 or so people can be in here. And I told Chris when he told me what the plan was, I said, don't you worry about shit. We will make sure it's sold out. I guarantee it. Like, I don't give a, like, it's like it will sell out because people, we're doing something we know we can do.
Right.
We can get 100 people to DC to watch a show.
Yes, we can.
We can do that. You know, we didn't charge an arm and a leg. Mm-mm. We didn't get some huge venue. We didn't get, we didn't pick some location where there's no niggas at. Like, we.
Come on!
You know, like, we were like, we can make this happen. And we sold those tickets out in less than 2 days.
Right.
And
we actually sold some of the tickets out before the other people even got a chance to
promote
it on their networks.
But, you know, some people had tickets, they bought tickets, they couldn't even come. They just bought tickets to be like, I'll give my tickets to 2 people.
Right.
But that's the support that we have and the trust that we have. And the erosion of that is incalculable. I don't know how the fuck you get that back when you, you know, essentially abuse it. And I'm not saying she abused it to get the money. I'm saying the abuse happens in the excuses, in the aftermath, where people watch you live change
what the fuck you
said.
Right.
Like, you literally said this an hour ago and now you're saying something different. And people got screenshots, and screenshots are forever. And Black Twitter CSI was all over this shit.
What? They was, everybody got this. Soon as that email went out, soon as the hotel started sending shit, everybody's shit lit up.
Right.
Everybody was like, what's happening? I don't know nothing about no nerd shit. Get on it, nerds. Black Twitter CSI nerd edition. Get y'all asses to work, nerds. You know they was like, get to work, nerds. They were like, I don't know no shit about cookies, but y'all better find out who the fuck baking them.
Zeros and ones, let's get it happening.
Come on.
I need IDs, I need bank accounts, I need everybody's social security numbers.
Come on.
Give me the balance sheets. I want screenshots.
Come on.
Contracts.
Come on, they was like, I don't know a goddamn thing about video games, but you do get the fucking working.
They were putting out calls to the, they were putting out fucking contracts on this shit, man. It was, like, I have not seen people's information put on blast that fast in a while. Like, it was just everywhere. Like,
right, they got that nerd alert and people went to work.
Mm-hmm. Like, they smushed their glasses up on their nose.
Come on, they shifted their pocket protectors and went to clicking.
I was like, damn, that was fast. Boy, I did not see that coming. But
come on, they had people dropping Xbox controllers and PlayStation controllers everywhere. What?
Right. Right.
I got to get to work. But we're in the live chat. We're in Destiny. I got to go, y'all.
Yeah. And so, like I said, the other part of this that makes me think, like, could you have done this also while saying, look, we can't afford to pay people to come be speakers this year. So that means some of y'all have to, if you want to do this, if you want to present, you want to see, we don't have the money to put up your hotel and stuff. We may not get the coolest guests now. We may not get the celebrities that we want, but this is year one.
And people would have been understanding.
But we make the audience, the people will come.
Right.
And also you find out that your ideals are not as easy as you thought. It's that thing. I said this on Twitter a while back, but it's like, is it that the people in power don't have the right solutions, or the people with the solutions realize that their solutions don't work once they get in power? You know, which one is it? It's gotta be one of those two. Like, is it that only bad people get power, or is it just that one, it's hard to fucking herd cats? no matter how the fuck you thought about it.
It is very hard to hurt cats.
Yeah, when you're sitting at home thinking about it and you figured out the perfect plan, you find out, actually it don't work that way. You know, cats don't give a fuck what your plan is, right?
Right. Some of them gonna sit and do nothing. Some of them gonna run. Some of them gonna hide. Some of them gonna actually attack you.
And it's easier to take shots from the side and then to try to do these things. And to a certain extent, like I said, I haven't joined in on the roasting and the shit because I just feel bad for everybody involved.
Me too.
I feel bad for the people that's out of their money. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for the organizers that had good intentions.
Right.
Whichever ones it were.
Right.
You know?
They really was like, I was here and I'm finding out just like y'all.
Right. Like the only thing I really was like, okay, I have no excuse for that, was the lies on the back end. Cause you lying one way or you lying the other, and it looked real scammy, and it's feeding right into the people who hate you.
Right.
Like the people who hate you, they've been there the whole time. They the baseline. They the drum beat. Now people are listening to them because it's like they doing solos right now. Cause it's like, you know what? Maybe you were right all along. You're like, one time this bitch didn't return my email. You're like, okay. In 2005, and that's how I knew. You're like, you sound like you've been mad for a while.
Yeah, and you know? Sound like you've been mad at everybody.
Right, like, I don't know that we should be listening to you, but in the absence of a real narrative, in the absence of honesty, guess who they all listening to? The people with the pitchforks.
Right.
Like, burn this motherfucker down. Radio Raheem! Throw a trash can through the window. Like,
I know, right?
Like it, you turned it that, but I've just always been the kind of person where I'm like, I'd rather attempt to do something smaller or something that I know I can do and it turned out to be a success.
Correct.
Than the opposite, I attempt to do something too big and it turns out to be a failure. That hurts more for me. But that's just the way I live my life. Some people like swing big, miss big. That's the best way to go through life.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's so recent. I don't expect, like, some of this shit might really blow over. And I don't mean it in the easy sense, and I know it doesn't
because
feel like it could
such
this way.
Short-term memory, not the people's money that's fucked up, but in general, yeah. Most people have short-term
but
memory.
I've seen people tweet through it. I've seen people take a break, come back 6 months later, 3 months later, a month, you know,
and
people
be just fine,
move the fuck on. Some people will always talk shit about you. Some people will always remember the low moments. It doesn't have to be the end, you know. Maybe you can find a way to, you say it's postponed. Maybe you can get with some sponsors, some people behind, some people that know what they're doing, and make the event happen anyway. You know, maybe you can. You know, maybe you can take out a loan of credit for your business. You know, there's things out there to kind of help. But I just feel more bad for everybody. I don't really have any party in. I'm not even angry. Like, you know. And honestly, in full disclosure, part of the reason we missed this wave is because I hate cons. So like, I would not have really wanted to be affiliated with something anyway if, you know, unless we were getting invited to speak or some shit. Why the fuck would I want to go? Because I don't like people, large groups, lines, sweating, you know? It's a lot of shit.
All that gonna be at the cons.
Right, it's a lot of shit I don't wanna do for, you know, just to do. I gotta go pay you to walk around and stand in line. Like, nigga, I watch Voltron on TV. You know? But that's me. You know? Cons are some people's shit. Like, that, they love that. You know, they love that shit.
I've only been to a few. I think I may have been on the floor like once or twice, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just ain't for me. We've gone to a couple too. And I even when I was there, I was like, this is for Karen. The whole time, like, yeah, yes, baby, we gonna stand in line. Woo! This is so fun, standing in line. Ooh, we almost possibly saw somebody famous. I don't know what that was. What's all them people looking at? You know, but yeah, it's, you know, this is also why that knowledge and expertise matters, man. Like, if you don't got the time to do something, pay the people that do got the time.
Come on.
But vet people. And then if something still happens and you do just get got, you gotta turn around and tell people I got got.
And be truthful. Cause that's the thing, transparency matters. And for the people that was rooting for you, they understand that part. For the people who ain't, you ain't never gonna convince them folks, but
you never gonna get everybody. The biggest gift I gave myself 2018, 2017 was two things. One, I don't need to wait on somebody else to have closure. Fuck them. You know what I mean? Like, right. Sometimes people will manipulate you and hold that shit from you, and they'll try to use that shit to you know,
keep
to,
stuff going.
Yeah, they're trying to use it against you, you know. Or, I know you're waiting for the day that I admit that I was wrong about this, or that I'm fucking up, or that I did, but fuck them. I can't wait on them. I have to move on for myself. The second thing I gave myself was ability, like, and this actually happened a few years ago, because we do this podcast. Some people ain't gonna like you.
And they never will.
And you, the most important part of that is not that part. That part is easy. Y'all, everybody, famous, not famous, doing something, not doing something, creative, not creative. We all know some people ain't gonna like us for good or bad reasons, right? We don't like somebody for good or bad reasons. That's not the part that at least was revolutionary for me. The part that was a revelation to me was, it's not my fucking business if you don't like me. Changed my entire fucking life. I honestly cannot tell y'all how refreshing it has been to be like, Lee, look, this motherfucker don't like me. Don't come tell me about it. I'm not gonna go looking for it. Talk about me wherever the fuck you want to talk about me. Leave me out of it. Don't tag me to it. For motherfuckers show up and be like, they was talking shit about you. I'm like, well, if they ain't want to say it to my face, leave it on the playground. Shout out to Monique. Like, motherfuckers will lie about you. I've been lied on at this point. I've had motherfuckers tell the most unkindest of truths at this point. I've had motherfuckers that, you know, smile in my face, but low key don't really fuck with me. I've had, you know, all this shit I've had at this point, yeah, from a years, fucking podcast.
Right, over the years, we've had crazy people, lunatics,
stalkers,
for real, and they still out there. Yeah, crazy.
It's a fucking podcast. You understand?
That's it,
we not on TV. We're not famous. Mm-hmm. I can still go to the grocery store and nobody know who the fuck I am.
Right.
This is not, like, at no point did I think, oh yeah, at one day, I'll have motherfuckers that, call my phone and say crazy shit. Like, I never thought that, right? But I've had that just from doing this. And I already am like, too much, right? But one of the gifts that I gave myself was being like, okay, you don't gotta like me. There's a part of me, like every human being I hope has, unless you're a sociopath, there's a part of you that wants everybody to think you finally and like you. But that's the control freak in you. The true part of you should be saying, you ain't gotta like me. Just leave me out of it.
Just leave me and leave me alone.
Somebody right now hoping I fuck up. Somebody every day hoping I do something, say something fucked up. They hoping Karen do something, say fucked up. They hope I showed us something fucked up, whatever. So they can finally get their tee off and be like, oh, I hate them niggas. Let me tell you about the time. You know, like everybody got people like that.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
you know, everybody has people like that. But I just stopped feeding into it. I stopped dealing with it. And more importantly, I don't do the other thing that many people, I feel like, is a mistake to do. You start living to prove something to those people by being the opposite, right? And I wonder if that's what happened with this. If you're living to prove the haters that, look at me, I'm shining, I can do anything, I'm out here making it look easy, nothing's wrong over here. And because you didn't want to admit the weakness, you end up falling right into the trap of, this is a time where the big ass community you built could have been resourced to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And because you don't want to give your haters any ammunition, because they're gonna say, what, you're scamming, you ain't shit, y'all know that money ain't blah blah blah, why y'all got more than twice the Kickstarter, why it ain't, because when we got more than twice, we probably said, let's do bigger than what we fucking thought we could do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of shit. So you try to please everyone all the time, you know, you don't want to let anyone down, you know, you don't want to tell them like, well, we might not get this person to talk, okay, look, we would love for you to talk, we can't pay you, you know, you're gonna have to get your own hotel and flight. And I totally understand if you don't want to do it, no hard feelings. Mm-hmm. Completely understand, and we love if you would do it, but you know, maybe if we can't afford it this year, maybe next year, maybe the year after that, we'll get big enough and one day we'll come, you know. That's totally fine, totally professional way to handle it. And instead you end up with this mess, man. I just feel so bad for everyone. So, you know, you can't catch yourself living to prove people wrong, man. You gotta live your life with integrity, honesty, the best way that you can, authenticity, the best way that you can. And the real see, you know what I'm saying, the real people will see. They'll be like, you know what, man, I fuck with this person and I know that they wouldn't do this, or I know that, you know, like, cause really the only thing that can really solve some of this shit is people being like, you know, I know Jamie and she wouldn't do this. You know, that's the only thing that's gonna stop it. The lawsuits and all this shit is just, hey man, something must have happened because she wouldn't do that.
Right.
But you got a lot of people coming out being like, well, actually I work for her and this part of the course, or, you know, she does stuff like this and shit like that. And now it's like, damn. You know what I mean? Like, so anyway, they do have a lot of other alternatives in the area. You can go on Twitter and see, like, people are promoting, like, there's a Tumblr, there's a pop-up con, there's all kinds of stuff. I don't live in the area, but I know
a lot of other people just throwing events, be like, hey, yeah, since they better come to town, we're throwing events, you know, you can come and kick it with us.
Joy is on Twitter, Jump for Joy. Chris and Sandy Check, he's on Twitter. They're, you know, Brandon is interviewing people for Where's My 40 Acres. He's interviewing cosplayers and vendors and stuff. Like, I really love us. I really love how people took a crisis essentially and said, we'll find a way to still help people get on. That's so dope. That's mm-hmm. so beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's part of the story too. Let's never lose that.
And that's part of the community too.
Right. Like, lost in the pettiness and the roasting and the jokes and all this shit, I really think the people that, you know, are putting time aside to come in and clean this up for folks, super dope. Super dope. And that, you know, that's all that matters, you know, for that part. Cause right now, sunk cost is sunk cost. If you're coming, you're coming. Maybe they can salvage something out of this. And I bet it'd be interesting if that shit was the thing that became an annual con.
I can see that.
The pop-up con mm-hmm. and shit. All right. What other things happened in the news? R. Kelly dropped by his publicist and lawyer. Reports have come in confirming his publicist and lawyer have severed ties with the singer. Linda Minch, Kelly's entertainment lawyer, confirmed to BBC News that she's no longer representing Mr. Kelly or his entities. The BBC also reported that Diane Copeland, Kelly's assistant, has quit. Additionally, Kelly's publicist is out. It comes in the midst of new allegations against the singer, claiming he knowingly and intentionally infected a 19-year-old woman he was grooming for a sex cult with an STD. Yeah, it's from a new BBC documentary called R. Kelly, Sex, Girls, and Videotapes.
Holy shit!
Mm-hmm. Which details years of allegations of sexual misconduct. Now, see, what's interesting is in Europe, England, whatever, Britain, they got laws against grooming. Grooming is when you take a girl who's like underage and shit and wait, even if you try to wait till she's the right, you know, legal age to have sex with.
They were like, you can't do that bullshit.
Right. They're like, you started this relationship
when she was underage.
So mate, we don't have that in the U.S. We don't even have like.
No, because they want you to marry him when they're six.
Right. Right. She's 13. Y'all. She's marrying age. I don't understand. It's Indiana.
I know, right?
At any rate, it's wild that this is just now when they're stepping off.
Yeah, BBC is like, this shit illegal over here. We go America, you ain't gonna cover this shit, but we'll cover it.
Yeah, I just think it's wild that they waited till now.
Come on, what you think, you get a reward? You knew,
right? Like, you really, you gonna wait till
you know what money dried up. That's when people, not trying to funny, that's when people start separating. Oh, you can't pay. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody want to go on concert with you. Every time your name comes up, I have to deal with, that's your client. Mm-hmm. I think they got enough of that, and money started shriveling up and drying up, so they was like, I'm out. Because people like that, that's just stayed this long despite all the other bullshit that's been coming out all these years and decades, once that money stopped flowing your way, all of a sudden you get a moral compass.
Right. Hard to believe it's the goodness of your heart at this point.
Right.
That's a lot to buy. Maybe it was Vince Staples' comments when he called when he was talking about him at Coachella, but I doubt it. You know. All right, man, we talked a long time already. Let's do some guess the race. We gotta start wrapping up, guys. I'm sorry. I know it's gonna take that long to talk about Flying Con.
It was the talk of the town all motherfucking weekend. Probably the day too. Like, literally, y'all. It was the talk of the town.
I did consider not even talking about it, but then I was just like, fuck it. Everybody's already talking about this shit if you black.
Right.
I'm sure. I mean, in the big scheme of things, white people probably don't even know what the fuck any of this shit is. Mm-mm. But it mattered to niggas, so we talking about it.
Right.
Because we niggas. all right, guess the race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room, everyone plays along, and they are racist. A man wearing a cap with President Donald Trump's Make America Great Again slogan hurled racial slurs at a Hispanic man before pushing him onto the tracks at a Manhattan subway station, the New York Police Department said Saturday. The attacker, wearing a red hat and red t-shirt with the slogan, began verbally abusing the man while on the northbound 4 train. He then allegedly followed the victim out of the train at Union Square station, punched him repeatedly in the head, and pushed him onto the tracks before running away.
What?
Mm-hmm. A friend of the victim helped him off the tracks, and he was taken to the hospital and was treated for cuts on his head. The attacker allegedly hurled a series of racially derogatory insults at the man while attacking him. Sounds like a hate crime. The incident comes 8 days after a Danish tourist wearing a MAGA cap was held up at knife point and robbed for his hat at the same station. Well, that's different. Karen, guess the race of the person that pushed the person onto the tracks.
Oh, 100% white. They voted for Trump.
All right, 100% white. Let's check the chat room, who is having a time. White says Jane. White says fine wine. White says Minerva. Nazi White says Trey Swindu. Black says Cass Alway, going all the way off the map. Works at Mar-a-Lago White. Satan Red. What is that, white as well? Is that white Shay? Anyway, sounds like most of you guys went with white, except for one person. And that one person is the only person that got it right. This was a black man.
What?
Now, some people, the one person that got it right. You get the golf clap, because I don't know how you got that. You must have cheated. That literally is
wow.
Right.
And
right.
That's a nigga,
a black just a black ass dude, like, would definitely get arrested for sitting in Starbucks, definitely. And he out here pushing our Hispanic brethren into the train tracks and calling them racial slurs.
Right. That person could have died if a train pulled up.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know who in the chat room cheating, but y'all gotta stop cheating, okay? The fun of the game is that we don't know, and we're guessing, and we're going by context clues. Everybody guess black. I'm gonna check y'all for performance enhancing drugs, okay? A 911 operator who didn't want to talk to anyone and hung up on people, hung up on calls, has now been sentenced to jail. Mm-hmm.
911, I'm having a heart attack. I don't know what to tell you, dog. Take some Advil. Click.
Why you playing on my phone? Bye. Click.
I just called. I'm having a heart attack. Like I told you before, ma'am, get off the phone. So we can talk about real emergencies.
Call click. Another operator, please. I'm busy. Right?
They're gonna start rewriting shit. They're gonna steal incoming call, and they're gonna push it to somebody else's line.
Words with friends not gonna win itself. Okay. A former 911 operator in Houston was sentenced to jail time and probation for hanging up on emergency calls.
I hope they know they record all these calls, right?
I know. You know this call's being recorded. A jury found 44-year-old Crenshanda Williams guilty of interference with emergency telephone calls, a misdemeanor.
A misdemeanor.
She will have to spend 10 days in jail and 18 months on probation. The judge also ordered Williams to attend a decision-making class and write an apology letter. There's decision-making classes?
Right?
Can I volunteer some other people to go? How do we get this to, can we make this a thing? Williams, who worked as a 911 operator for a year and a half until August 2016, she systemically hung up on people that were attempting to report emergencies ranging from homicides and traffic violations.
What?
Right.
Somebody called you because they get stabbed, and you was like, you tying up my line, bitch, click.
Maybe she got tired of those calls about accusing black people of sitting around doing nothing. Aww. There's two black people at Panera Bread, and I think something's going on. Click. The allegations surfaced when the Houston Emergency Center officials noticed that Williams had a large number of calls that lasted less than 20 seconds, known as short calls.
Ooh.
911, how can I help you? Help! Mom fell down the stairs and click. It was not an emergency. According to the prosecutor's records showed that Williams had hung up on thousands of short calls.
What?
How many people were dead now? Jim Moten said he dialed 911 in 2016 to report two vehicles speeding down the interstate. Well, I mean, this nigga called for no reason. Moten thought that the call had dropped when it ended only 45 seconds after, but he was actually hung up on by Williams. According to court documents, he hung up the phone and said, "Ain't nobody got time for this. For real."
She was trying to get back on Twitter to see what was popping off. Y'all wasting her motherfucking time.
This fan con shit is going down, and you over here distracting me at work
about some speeding vehicles, nigga. Nigga,
if someone calls in to report an incident, whether the person feels this is an emergency or not, you should have time for it, said Moten. Williams had told investigators she hung up on the calls because she didn't want to talk to anyone.
But your whole job is talking.
Stop playing on her phone, Karen. The citizens of Harris County rely on 911 operators to dispatch help in a time of need, said District Attorney Lauren Reeder in a statement. So, guess the race, guys. Karen?
I'm going black. If it's a white woman by that name, I'll be shocked.
All right. Crenshanda Williams, was it? Yep, Crenshanda Williams. Let's check the chat room.
I will be shocked.
Resume's been thrown in the trash on several occasions, black. Crescendo with a neck roll and ain't here for your problems at 911, black. Got practice avoiding bill collectors before call ID, black.
Oh.
Bet she got long ass acrylic nails and smacks her gum hella loud, hood rat, black.
Oh.
Black as fuck. This was her part time because she employed as a black Twitter CSI, black. She ain't have the minutes on her phone, black. Should have called on Tyrone instead, black. I'm about to take my break. Ain't nobody got time for that, black. The correct answer is black.
Oh, I was about to say. If this one was about to be wrong, I was like, white folks is fucking it up then, because I wouldn't have guessed it.
Mm-hmm. Nah, Crenshanda is definitely a black woman. Crenshanda Williams. That was... I almost didn't feel y'all's guesses. That's how I was like, if y'all missed this, just don't listen to the show no more. All right, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the racism, and bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 1-1, as are most people. Okay, but let's see how she does in the bonus round.
I'm surprised her sentence was so light on that last one.
I know, right? She got a white woman sentence. That much is true.
Come on, that's what I was saying. If this is a white woman, I know she had to forever have a hard time getting the job.
How much time we got left?
5 minutes.
Okay, cool. Police: a woman was jailed Wednesday for leaving her two children home alone while she was intoxicated at Texas Applebee's.
Oh, not the bees. What they doing, them margarita specials and shit?
Must have been. Priscilla Marisol Flores, 34, was charged with two counts of child abandonment with intent to return. She also cited for public
abandonment with intent to return.
Yeah, she was planning on coming back to get them kids. She was also cited for public intoxication. At 1 a.m. Wednesday, police officers responded to Applebee's for a report of a disturbance. Said they found an intoxicated woman dancing on top of the bar.
Oh!
The woman was identified as Flores. She was incoherent, had bloodshot eyes, and could not balance herself. She allegedly became belligerent towards officers and cursed at them. Officers said they found out that she lived in a nearby apartment complex. There, officers said they discovered two children. Both 12 years old, asleep in separate rooms with no adult supervision. Police say they took Flores to the headquarters to book her. Guess the race.
I'm gonna say Latinx.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what y'all believe. You ever got down at the Applebee's? No. White Latino, so there's no way those kids were home alone. Oh, not dollar long island tees. Oh no, that's not a race. Latinx, do the Mexican hat dance. Latinx, Latino. Oh. Latin, white passing Latina, Hispanic, Latina, here for the margaritas Latina, deported by Long Island iced teas Latina.
Oh.
Latinx and Latinx in the mix. The correct answer is, and you guys mostly got it right, Latinx. Did anyone get it wrong? I don't know. I feel like y'all got it right, so. But yeah, she did that shit, guilty as fuck.
Yeah, she did.
Wow. That's, I mean, sometimes you gotta blow off steam. I mean, 12 is enough to, you know, niggas can sleep for a couple hours, right? I don't know enough about kids. that's why I ain't got none.
I don't got none.
I come back mad as hell. You really, nigga? You couldn't stay asleep a couple more hours? Shit. Alright. Sword Ratchetness. A sword wielding man broke into a St. Helens home in a case of mistaken identity. Residents in St. Helens were terrorized when a sword-wielding burglar forced his way into their home last night in a possible case of mistaken identity. Police were called to a house on Bruce Street around 10:25 p.m. to believe that after an altercation at the house next door, the burglar ran from the scene. Officers said the victims in the incident were left extremely shaken, but no one was injured. Witness inquiries are ongoing to establish exact circumstances. Detective Chief Inspector Chris Sefton said this was an appalling incident, which has clearly left everyone involved extremely shaken, although thankfully nobody was injured. We are keeping an open mind as to the motive, but it initially appears to be a case of mistaken identity. I want to reassure the victims and the wider community that we will do everything in our power to find the person responsible for this. If you know who is responsible or witness anyone acting suspiciously in the area of last night, please come forward and we will act on all information provided. To force your way into someone's home is disgraceful. We are committed to taking these people and their weapons from the streets of St. Helens. So they still ain't caught them, y'all. So if you're in St. Helens, be careful. Lock your doors. Right, don't answer it to no strange people. Mm-hmm. If your neighbor's having some problems, you know, make sure you keep your shit locked. Okay,
come on,
shit is happening out here in these streets. It's real. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate y'all. Hope you enjoy our This Too Much on Atlanta, all that type of stuff. Listen to Karen on ADD Space, Ad Space, actually I think is the name of it. But yeah, it's spelled with ADD, but listen to her there, and appreciate y'all. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.